1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. Israel is marking 30 days since the Hamas attacks, triggering the Israel-Hamas war. The U.S. is urging Israel to take more humanitarian pauses to get aid into Gaza and hostages and civilians out. The U.S. is pushing back on the suggestion by Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in an interview with ABC's David Muir that Israel will likely oversee Gaza after the war. State Department Principal Deputy Spokesperson Vedant Patel.
Generally speaking, we do not support reoccupation of Gaza, and neither does Israel. Secretary Blinken was fairly clear about that during his travels as well.
Voters are at the polls in an off-year election, but key races and measures could shape the 2024 general election. In Virginia, Republicans are looking to gain seats and control of the House and Senate. The Supreme Court heard arguments on whether a federal gun ban for domestic abusers is constitutional. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers take up several bills today dealing with higher education. One would require existing higher education grant programs to give financial aid to disadvantaged students instead of students of color. Other bills would guarantee Wisconsin students who graduate in the top 10% of their class admission to most UW schools, and those who finish in the top 5% would be guaranteed admission to UW-Madison. Meanwhile, the state Senate passed several proposed constitutional amendments impacting Wisconsin elections today. Non-citizens would be barred from voting in Wisconsin, and private money cannot be used to cover election costs. The amendments already passed both houses of the legislature last session. Assuming the assembly passes them again this spring, they'd go to a statewide referendum next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The identities of the two Duluth men charged with selling drugs have been released. 21-year-old Terrence Lampley and 24-year-old Anthony Bradley were arrested last Thursday after the Duluth Police Department Special Investigations Unit and Lake Superior Violent Offender Task Force executed search warrants at their homes. Law enforcement officials say they found 770 fentanyl pills, a loaded pistol, high-capacity magazines, ammunition, and nearly $40,000 in alleged drug sale proceeds. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin Assembly would provide free breakfast and lunch for all Wisconsin students, with the schools receiving state reimbursements for the breakfasts and lunches they serve. Proponents of the bill believe it will ensure every student in the state has access to healthy food so they can shift their focus to their schoolwork and reach their fullest potential. The state previously provided free school meals during the COVID-19 pandemic using federal relief funding. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Craig Council says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Council made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A 5-year deal with $40 million, making Council the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Council called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable, more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to beat Chris. And tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely. Tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 37. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 47 tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 43.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Fighting traffic on the interstates. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. We're going to go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Thanks, Matt, for all the information. I'm interested in reacting in kind of a roundabout way, but it will get to the point about the attention that you gave to the elections that are happening across the country. And I would draw people's attention to the fact that, we have an election coming up in a year, you know, that's going to be pretty critical to who and what we are all about as this country. And it struck me that in terms of trying to convince people to change their mind about things, you know, to change their mind about Trump, to change your mind about Joe Biden. I can come up with this long list of, okay, look at the economy is so dramatically better under Joe Biden, looking at the unemployment rate, looking at the way he's cut the deficit. And I can look at the fact of Trump, we're looking at 91 felony convictions, you know, just started looking at how corrupt this man is and the way he's kind of sold our country down the river. And I guess one of the things I'm interested in, Matt, and it has to do with civil demonstrations, civil protest. And I have come to believe that when we look at our history, you know, change doesn't come by being nice. You know, nice gets you nowhere, really. I'm thinking about the Vietnam War and the protests that occurred then, and that Nixon had apparently said that he was deathly afraid of the protesters and this swelling of protest against this war. Civil rights protest wasn't nice. You know, they sat in on counters and said, we have every right to be served along with white people. You know, the gay rights we're queer and we're here. And one that has always stuck in my mind, which is the role of a civil demonstration for disability rights, where people really went through saying, you know, you better find a way for us to have access. We have the exact right that everybody else does to have access to restaurants, to get into public buildings, et cetera. So nice gets you nowhere. In that way, I'm struck by the fact that as we look at Trump, he and his allies are apparently planning what might be described as a revenge tour if they are to get back into office. There's an article from the Washington Post, November 5. There's a group that's been put together. It's called the Project 2025. And various things are going to be going after. But one of the things they plan to do is to invoke the Insurrection Act on day one of his presidency if he's reelected. And that would be using the military against civil demonstrators. So I'm interested in you reacting to what I've said, Matt, in light of the fact that, you know, we have Republican legislators, Matt Romney being the one sole person against that, who are deathly afraid to even join in voting to impeach the guy. So I'd be curious what your reaction is when you hear that he's planning his revenge tour, and one of the key components of it is to put the Insurrection Act into place on day one of his, if he were to get into office again. I'd be interested in your reactions, and maybe I'm throwing this at you all at once because it's It's an incredibly horrifying prospect, and I'd be curious to hear what your reactions are to my thoughts. Thanks a lot, Matt. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
No, great call as always, Joe. Here's my thought, and there's two things. You started out, of course, by talking about the elections tonight, and there we're trying to gauge two things. One is enthusiasm for Democrats, and that's very, very valuable to know in terms of how we can help Joe Biden beat Donald Trump so he never gets in at all. But then secondly, is there some kind of a shift going on out there? We had Terry of the North Woods call yesterday reporting from up in the far north of Wisconsin what the mindset is, and it was a very, very valuable call as well. In terms, I couldn't agree more that nice doesn't get you anywhere. And I remember the Vietnam era and the civil rights era and also all of the demonstrations since then. And that's one of the geniuses of the First Amendment. You know, it's not just freedom of speech and freedom of the press, but it's freedom of petition, freedom of protest, you know, nonviolent protest. Now, what you have said about Trump is exactly accurate. There is a 2025 project. Trump has outsourced it, they call it, to some right-wing think tanks who are putting together a plan on how you would execute it. So God forbid he's elected in November of 2024. There's a period of several months while he puts together a cabinet. He'll put together a cabinet of crooks and thieves. You know, before some of his cabinet actually weren't bad, Mattis and people like John Kelly and all that. But this time you're liable to see Jeffrey Clark as the attorney general. Jeffrey Clark, by the way, is the guy that's coordinating this revenge thing when he gets in. That's right, Jeffrey Clark, even though Jeffrey Clark is now being criminally charged. So I don't want him in as attorney general. I don't want Sidney Powell in as deputy attorney general. I don't want Mike Flynn as secretary of state. And so what do we do about all this? Well, how do we communicate this to voters? And one of the things that shocks me, is how little voters seem to care about this. It's not as if Trump is not being transparent. He's not hiding anything. He's angry. He says he was cheated. And when he gets back in, also part of this 2025 project is not only declaring martial law. And when you declare martial law, you suspend the writ of habeas corpus. You take away from judges the right to, you know, you got to get rid of peaceful protesters from jails. You suspend the writ of habeas corpus and you send the army in the streets. And he was going to do that to get the voting machines back in 2020 when he lost the election. And it was people in his cabinet who said, no, you can't do that. That's crazy. Do not do that. Because if you do something like that, people will rise up. But they were people, as he put it, from the Federalist Society, who were sort of straight on conservatives. He's in this 2025 project. They've attacked the Federalist Society. They think that they are insufficiently conservative. By that, they mean insufficiently in fealty to Trump himself. That's all they want. It's what Trump wants and thinks. It's what the big man, the strong man, wants and thinks. And so he has said he's not going to look to the Federalist Society for appointments anymore. He's going to look for a cadre of people who are personally loyal to him. And he will take revenge, and he named some names. He will find a way to prosecute William Barr. Now, crooked William Barr, if you told me that a year ago, I would have said, great, right on. He should be prosecuted. Remember, he's the one who lied about the Mueller report and a lot of other things. But he also, at the end, said there wasn't fraud to overturn the election. He is going to prosecute, believe it or not, Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a decorated combat veteran over 40 years, who's a patriot. And what he wants to prosecute him for is treason, which he has said has the death penalty. He's right about that historically, but what he did is treason on January 6th. And if Jack Smith had charged him with treason, which he could have, and he decided not to, and he charged him in Washington, D.C. under Tanya Chutkan for ginning up the insurrection. But ginning up an insurrection is treason, and it does have the death penalty. the last time we administered the death penalty was in the early 1950s for that unfortunate couple who stole the nuclear secrets and passed them to the Soviet Union. To put it mildly, it would be politically dangerous right now to suggest that that happened to Trump, but he did commit treason, and that is the penalty, although he's not been charged with treason. The other thing to keep in mind is that Trump has said that he is going to get rid of what he calls regulations and some provisions in the Constitution. He is not for upholding the Constitution. He's not for upholding the Constitution. What he wants to go after Mark Milley for is because when the insurrection occurred, and remember what that professor at Yale said, which I thought was so well put. He said, Trump complains that his constitutional rights are being violated. Then he went on and said, the fact of the matter is Trump's constitutional rights in these criminal cases are being vindicated, because in almost every other country in the world, if you launch a failed insurrection, it is not followed by a trial. And the electorate isn't catching on to that. They want Mark Milley, because when Mark Milley saw the insurrection, there are people around the world that took it as serious as it was and said, maybe the government is going to be overthrown. China has nuclear weapons. Russia has nuclear weapons. And Pakistan has nuclear weapons. And Israel has nuclear weapons. So does France. So does Great Britain. So Mark Milley called his Chinese counterpart in China and said, this is being managed. Don't worry about it. There's not going to be any attack on China. That was exactly the right thing to do. And yet what happens? What happens is that Trump wants to execute him. Going back to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend, thanks for calling. Mark, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, it's interesting that Donald Trump has already said that on day one, he's going to violate the very same oath that he had just taken to uphold, to preserve, protect, to defend the Constitution of the United States by suspending the Constitution of the United States. I mean, people have got to realize this guy is saying, I'm going to commit treason, I'm proud of it, and vote for me and see treason occur right in front of your eyes, that we've already seen it happen already. I mean, that these guys, that it seems like there's a good portion of the Republican Party that do not take their oaths to preserve the constitutions of the United States or of the individual states. I mean, every single one of these fake electors and their adjacent ones should be prosecuted, including, we've been hearing Brian Shimmian bragging about the exciting new senatorial candidate they're going to have for the Republican Party. When Brian Shimmian was on Cheese Bros' list of the people he sent out with a plan to overturn the election, I mean, there's another guy who's on the list of the unindicted co-conspirators that should be in jail right now. Every single one of those fake electors should be in jail right now, twiddling their thumbs and waiting for the trial to come up, because the violation that they committed against the country and in our states is right, in my mind, mind-numbing.
Right. And the point is that they could also be prosecuted in this state, and they should be. Instead, Michigan is doing it. Georgia is doing it with a DA. And then Jack Smith is doing it to some extent. And that's it. I would like to see them prosecuted in this state. Okay. What is coming up is a vital discussion about what happens on November 17th. When we have to shut down the government, and what is the role? What is the role? What is the role of Mike Johnson? Those of you on the line, stay on the line. We will get back to you.
Backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hi. Great show as usual, Matt. Thank you so much for all the work you do. It's got to be distressing having to keep up on all the information going on. You know, I mean, if people really even seen half of what we're all watching and concerned about, they'd be just as worried. But you know, but they have to work every day and worry about their finances and their families and things. And, you know, we have to keep trying to get the word out to people because, unfortunately, there's a lot of places and media who are not covering these significant issues and their impacts on our daily life. And I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, on the health care, the government health care system. And I'm sure they don't pay attention and understand that if these guys take over, Trump has this great plan, you know, to take care of Obamacare or whatever you want to call it. And it's like, you know, oh boy, guys, you better pay attention to this. Also, anybody who's retired, Medicare, and then also Medicaid, disabled, and people, you know, that need the Medicaid, and also Social Security. And also, whatever they feel at that moment, these impulsive, you know, B-turds, they, you know, all they need to do is bring it up. And you know what? Trump will do anything these guys tell him to do that they want done because he don't want to work. He just wants parades for himself. He just wants to be bowed down to as the man. And the scary thing that really gets me going is when I see these people all praying together for Donald Trump because God's talking to him. And I think to myself, wake up, folks, because this is only the beginning. Now, I got to say, again, you know, I've heard people questioning Joe Biden. I don't think, and I was a Bernie supporter, I don't think any of the candidates could do the job that Joe Biden does every single day for us. And, you know, he's fighting for jobs. He's fighting for unions. He's fighting for children. And the numbers of kids that are getting killed by guns, oh, my gosh, you think the Republicans are concerned about that? Heck no. Now they want to have the abusers for domestic abuse being able to have a firearm because it's, you know, their constitutional right to have a firearm no matter what. So, you know, it's insane. Anything you think that's insane right now, you better pay attention because it's only going to get worse because these people are out of control. And the only people that can take it back is all of us joining together to vote back Joe Biden and all the Democrats that are going to change the situation, and we're going to be right on their butts making sure that they do, because we want protection in our country and we do not want fascism, and we need to fight back. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you for letting me have my word. You have a good day. Well, bye-bye.
It's a great call, as always, Jean. I love your calls. I really do. Stephanie Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Stephanie, what's in your mind today?
Well, we're talking about history, and I really been thinking about, you know, your answer last week when I called and asked about becoming woke. You know, I'm really a believer in that. First of all, listening to Jean's call, there's a book, Night, by Elie Wiesel, and one of the most tragic, heartbreaking things I remember reading is that there were people that really saw what was going on, and everybody ignored them or, you know, or abused them or, you know, just dismissed them. And that is so, you know, you've got to hang on to hope and hang on to your spirit, because but when you see stuff like that, it's really, really, it's awful. And the other thing I wanted to mention in terms of history, there's a fabulous article in this week's November 13th New Yorker about Bayard Rustin. It is a wonderful, wonderful article and gives a lot of different perspectives, but really hones in on the history of the civil rights movement and the history of his history and what he was dealing with, you know, when the time that he was involved in the movement in the from the 1930s onward. So anyway, there's also a movie about him now. So yeah, I just wanted to share that, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Okay.
Yeah. Great call as always, Stephanie. Yeah. I want to say Bayard Rustin is a giant. Google him. And, you know, people nowadays look back on civil rights and they go, well, that was inevitable. What the heck? No, well, no, it wasn't inevitable. And I'm going to give you some memories of my memories from the 60s. After the compromise in 1876 in the Tilden race that Rutherford Hayes won, ultimately won, the devil's bargain was the North took troops out of the South and they murdered black people for 100 years, almost 100 years, to the 60s anyway, till John Kennedy got elected. Murdered them, flat out murdered them, hanged them. I knew a guy back in the, I don't know, 63, 64 time period, who had seen his uncle hanged. He'd seen his uncle lynched, dragged out of their house and lynched. And if you look at some of the old videos, and you probably get them on YouTube, the way some of these people operated, the white supremacists, they'd go into a lunch counter where there were people, black people wanted to be served, and they wouldn't be served, and they'd pick up ketchup bottles and squirt them on their heads. And on girls' heads sitting next to them, and they just wouldn't react. It was vicious as hell, is what it was. You have no idea what was going on. Bob of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'm worried about the way Republicans set up monopolies and reward businesses that don't deserve it with a lot of money and stuff like that. You know that. If you look at the utility industry, the electric utility industry in this state or in this country, the publicly owned ones are at 60% of the price of the investor-owned utilities, almost uniformly across the country. It's that way. And so... Why an extra 40%, you know, 20% for salaries and 20% for profits, and they're grossly overpaid, and the utilities are good paying jobs. I mean, they're great jobs, but, you know, they're great jobs when they're public sector and not just when they're investor owned. And all of this. This is a pattern to create more money that they can collect from them. If they can privatize something, then suddenly they can get more campaign contributions.
Right. Bob, I'm going to respond to that because you've raised some very profound issues. And let's see what's going on right now, which will be news, weather, ID, and time. And then when that's done, I'm going to respond to Bob, and then we're going to talk about what's coming up. We are going to talk about the default on November 17 and what Mike Johnson has up his sleeve and how he can beat him.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Members of the United Auto Workers in Wisconsin will soon vote on new contracts with America's largest automakers. The union and the companies have reached tentative deals for the next 4.5 years. General Motors workers in Hudson and Stellantis workers in Milwaukee are already back on the job, even though the Milwaukee facility is slated to close. Ford workers in Menominee never walked out. Former President Donald Trump leads President Biden in a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. That survey has Trump leading in key battleground states like Wisconsin, as well as Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's despite facing dozens of criminal charges in 4 different cases. The survey polled about 600 registered voters in each of the 6 states. The presidential election is 1 year away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin have announced new clean energy grant programs. According to a press release, the programs are designed to upgrade and strengthen energy infrastructure in the state to ensure access to secure, reliable, affordable, and environmentally responsible energy. Governor Evers and the Public Service Commission expect the grant programs, funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law, to infuse about $20 million into Wisconsin. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin Assembly would provide free breakfast and lunch for all Wisconsin students, with the schools receiving state reimbursement for the breakfasts and lunches they serve. Proponents of the bill believe it will ensure every student in the state has access to healthy food so they can shift their focus to their schoolwork and reach their fullest potential. The state previously provided free school meals during the COVID-19 pandemic using federal relief funding. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Craig Council says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Council made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A 5-year deal with $40 million, making Council the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Council called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable and more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to be Chris. Tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 37. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 47 tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
Welcome back to Matthew Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines, and just before we do, I want to respond to Bob of Madison. Bob correctly pointed out that the Republican Party, probably for the last 100 years, has been the party of people with a lot of wealth. And I respect that. If they do it, if they do a good business, do a good job, they should have a lot of wealth. That's great if they get it legally, but they shouldn't be permitted to dictate public policy to the exclusion of everybody else. And that is what has happened. He mentioned utilities. It's not just utilities. The Democratic Party is an essential counterweight to that. And I got to say this about Joe Biden. We should sing his praises every time. I am very glad that we have one of the most experienced presidents in American history flying this airplane of the United States through a storm. Storm in Israel, storm in Ukraine, storm in everything. He's a steady hand, and this guy Trump on the other side is a criminal. We go to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Todd or Billy, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt. Great to talk to you. I would echo singing Joe Biden's praises. He's just been a fantastic president in really difficult circumstances. He's gotten so much done. And I am, you know, worried about what I hear in the polls, but also thinking about, you know, the people who don't pay much attention, really aren't paying any attention a year out. So I'm hopeful. But I'm really excited to hear about what happens today. I think these results are going to matter a lot in places where people are paying attention, in Virginia and Pennsylvania and Kentucky. I'm so eager to hear about the outcomes, and I'm really hopeful. I hope it's going to be a big day for Democrats and for democracy, more importantly.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. And, you know, watch TV tonight. Take a look at all, you know, you may think these are inconsequential races. They're not inconsequential at all. By margins, you will be able to determine how enthusiastic people are in New York and Rhode Island for the Democrats. And you'll be able to see whether in Kentucky, Andy Beshear, a great governor, he really is a great governor, is able to hang on, and whether we're able to hang on to the state Senate in Virginia and so forth. So a terrific call. Thank you. Mary of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Mary?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to call about two things. The first is people are talking about this Project 2025. It's the Heritage Foundation plan to dismantle the administrative state, except now these younger, former Trump administration officials are saying, like, the Federalist Society, they don't know what time it is. Too many of these elite conservative attorneys are too timid. Too many of them are rhinos. So not only are, you know, they're starting to talk about purging the Federalist Society, the Heritage Foundation people out of this whole plan when Trump wins. And I just think it's kind of karma. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But I'm thinking, what authoritarian governments in the world allow their citizens to have guns? None. You look at Hungary, you look at China, you look at Russia, all these pro-MAGA people who want to put Trump back in because they want their guns. No authoritarian government allows their citizens to have guns, to walk around with guns. And I just think that's ironic too.
You know, that's a very, very deep insight. That's a very deep insight, because you may remember that some of the NRA people went to Moscow and chummed it up with Putin and his people. And I was always very suspicious of that. If you have a gun in Russia, you're going to get arrested unless you're one of Putin's friends. You really are. You cannot have a gun. So why is the head of the NRA and all these folks hanging around in Moscow, Russia? And the answer is they don't care about guns. They ultimately don't care about guns in American hands. What they care about is power and money. And that's why there have been plenty of allegations that they use money for personal purposes. And these people that send in $10 a month who are NRA members are being suckered. When push comes to shove, the party that's going to protect your right to bear arms is the Democratic Party. And that's always been the case. Going back to the lines, Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
What a powerful point she brought up. That was incredible. Good on her. You know, in the darkest reaches of my little brain over here, yeah, government shutdown where the military has to wait to get paid till it's over, you know, then they can look at the people they're voting for. Maybe that changes their mind. You know, I don't know. And the other thing that bothers me about the military, that while we have a Democratic president and a Democratic senator, we're still allowing Fox News, Fox Radio, as being one of the main sources of information for the military. That is horrible, if not despicable. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew. Yeah, well, a couple of things on that. When you say that we're permitting, you know, people are going to watch whatever they want when they're on their own time. I don't know what they're showing on bases, but, you know, I've gone into plenty of like a dentist's office or a doctor's office, and sometimes people will put it on default on Fox News. And you're right. I don't like it either. But at some point, you have to trust people to say, come on, open your eyes, read a newspaper, listen to a radio station that's a little different from what you normally listen to. You know, don't live in a bubble. There is a MAGA bubble, but it's not enough to put Trump in. What's going on is that there are some independents and even some constituencies in the Democratic Party who, in polling anyway, suggest that they're not as enthusiastic about voting. It's not that they're going to vote for Trump. That's got to change. And I want to, before I take the next caller, I just want to emphasize this. Joe Biden is one of the best presidents in my lifetime. He is facing people with nuclear weapons in Russia, in China. Iran's trying to get them. And he has passed, you know, hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, all of this stuff when he doesn't really control Congress. The guy is a magician. He's terrific. And I got news for you. Donald Trump is a BSer. And the truth of the matter is he added $8 trillion to the national debt, but he does it with large tax cuts that about 80 or 90% favor his donors. And nobody bars that when he's in power. You got to wake up. We're going back to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, just as far as those polls, I would like to point out that Barack Obama was in a very similar position in 2012. And it was all forecasted that if the election were held today, Mitt Romney would have won. Well, the election's not being held today. And there's quite a bit of time between today and the actual general election. So I don't think we should panic just yet. I think there's a lot of game time that's happening. And just continuing to hammer on Trump, a lot of people want to say that Trump and foreign policy are like, you know, because he's created deals. But I'd like to point out, within his entire administration history, he never started doing any kind of multilateral talk. He could not handle more than one crisis at a time, whether or not he was talking with Russia, whether or not he was talking with North Korea, whether or not he was talking with China. He cannot multitask to save his life. And you can see that within all of the policies and directives that he issued, always unilateral, never multilateral. The man is dumb as a turnip. And take a look at what he has enacted versus what he is talking about. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that's very, very good. And I want to quick hit the business of the polls. You've raised it and a couple of other people have raised it. We talked about it the other day, but I want to get a little deeper into it. Here's the deal. There were six so-called swing states polled. And those are only because they're states that Biden won last time. Two of them, and especially Arizona and Georgia, to call them a swing state is a joke. They've always been ruby red. The truth of the matter is that Biden pulled the rabbit out of a hat. Maybe he will again, but he doesn't have to win them. What he has to win is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Now, of the six states, he's leading in five, but it's within the margin of error. And Biden is leading in one, Wisconsin, that's in the margin of error. And actually, I just misspoke. One of the states that Trump is leading in is outside the margin of error. That's Nevada. but all the other five are margin of error. And if you take polls 3 weeks from now or 3 weeks ago, they all shift a number of points. That's number one. Number two, what Tom said is exactly right. Not just Barack Obama, but George W. Bush and Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, all of them were clearly going to lose their elections, and yet each one of them won it if you based it only on polls a year out. The third thing I want to point out is there's an issue in elections called joining the election, J-O-I-N, joining the election or joinder. When the election has not really started, when there is not the election, the issue hasn't been joined, and it's just general griping and theoretical, what if, what if, what if. The astonishing thing about these polls, the astonishing thing is that Trump isn't farther ahead, that he isn't 10 or 15 points ahead. Why do I say that? Because first of all, he is an unusual candidate. He has name recognition that's almost as good as Biden's because he was president. That's the only reason. You have basically two people who served one term as president running against each other, like Grover Cleveland back in the 19th century. And when you have conflicting, basically set off name recognitions, then the thing that bugs people the most, they're going to say they're for the other guy. And Trump has no responsibility for doing anything right now. He's a private citizen. He can say whatever he wants about Ukraine because he doesn't have the responsibility. He can say, I'd solve it in a minute. And back in 1968, Nixon said the same thing about Vietnam. Oh, I could have us out of there. He didn't. We were in there another 6 years, and he screwed it up massively. On Israel and Hamas, Trump can say whatever he wants. On inflation, he can say whatever he wants. He can shoot his mouth off about China, about North Korea. And he has equal name recognition. And the fact that, yeah, he's under indictment in four different jurisdictions, or three of them anyway, and 91 counts. And he says that's political. And people yawn because the issue has not been joined. When the issue is joined, the amazing thing is that this far out, Trump should be a lot farther ahead. He has great name recognition and he has no responsibility. When the issue is joined, when not only true advertising kicks in, but the true issue definition kicks in, people are going to sit back and think, we are flying through a hurricane. And there are two pilots that are being proposed. One of them is flying it successfully, Joe Biden. He is the most experienced foreign policy president this country has ever had, because he's been at it since 1972. He's been at it for 50 years, number one. Number two, the proof of the pudding. He's put NATO together. He's increased morale in NATO and in Europe, our allies. Putin right now is complaining that Joe Biden is going into Kazakhstan and some of the other stands, Uzbekistan and the others, who should be friendly to Putin, and they're starting to cling to the United States. He's going to Asia. He's isolated China. He's isolated North Korea. That takes skill. That takes knowledge. That doesn't take Trump. And on the economy, hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIPS Act. And right now, we have lower unemployment than we've had, the lowest since 1969. And wages are wages are going up farther than inflation. That is the good news. Preach the good news. There's a lot of it there. Joe Biden's just fine. He's just fine. Well, let's see what else is coming up. Well, we've been talking about the shutdown of the government and our friend Mike, and I shouldn't say our friend, Mike Johnson. We will get to him right now. That's what's coming up.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. you know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Rudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Remember something, on November 17, the government supposedly shuts down. We run out of money. Today is November 7. We're talking about 10 days. 10 days. And they are doing nothing. Let me give you what is going on behind the scenes and what I think should be done. There are 12 appropriation bills that are required to run the whole government, 12 of them. The Senate has already in the Senate passed three of them. There are 9 unpassed Senate appropriation bills that the Senate, the majority of the Senate, and I'm talking about bipartisan majority of the Senate, is talking about putting together in one large maxi bill. It's called a maxi bus. A mini bus is putting 2 or 3 of them together. A maxi bus is putting a whole bunch of them together. There are only a few legislative days left until Thanksgiving, recess, and only 3 full weeks until in December before the Christmas recess. The point is that if we come to December 17 and there is not a resolution, Janet Yellen can juggle a few accounts and keep payroll going for a very limited period of time, but it's not good. And remember something, the Republicans always do this. The Democrats never do it. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer didn't say when they had control of the whole Congress, well, why don't we do this? Why don't you pass an immigration and a voting rights bill? Are we going to shut the government down? We don't do that. Because the Republicans do it, our bond rating was downgraded by one of the raters, and we are paying billions a year in interest more on our national debt because of what the Republicans are doing, with billions with a B. Now, here is the deal. Once a maxibus is passed, before it can get to the floor, it's going to take weeks. Why is it going to take weeks? Because of Tuberville, Rand Paul, J.D. Vance, any one of them can say no. That's what's going on. We're playing chicken. Now, here's what Mike Johnson wants to do. He wants to ladder a continuing resolution. What does that mean? And then I'll get to the lines. I see you in the lines. He wants to pass a very short appropriation for everything and then have individual appropriations expire at different times as a ladder. The last time that was done is in 1991. It's a very bad idea. Because then what he does is he gets the stuff he wants, and then he says, no, I'm not going to give you the rest of it. The Appropriations Committee in the Senate, remember, it's split evenly between Democrats and Republicans. They've passed the 9 appropriation bills remaining unanimously. And these clowns, a handful of senators, but more importantly, Mike Johnson is trying to throw a monkey wrench into this. We're going to the lines. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Jake?
Well, I'd just like to tell the Democrats out there, don't worry, don't panic. Basically, any poll you get from a media organization at this point, as has been shown over the past decade, if it's coming from ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN, you can pretty much discount the poll to begin with and assume it's inaccurate until they prove otherwise. Because these media organizations are self-interested. They want to make a profit. And having Donald Trump in the presidential race is a way to make profit for them. And they think Joe Biden's a very boring guy who ran a very boring presidential campaign in 2020. And they don't want to see him run again. So they're running these skewed outlier polls like this New York Times poll or that ABC poll from a few weeks ago that are totally bogus. And all you have to do is look at the internals, like where it says what Biden and Trump are tied amongst people under the age of 30. I mean, who in their right mind believes that's even close to accurate? I mean, you seriously, you have to not understand America at all to take that poll seriously, because it's clearly inaccurate.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And you take under 30s, if they're not happy with Biden on some issue or other, okay, they're never going to vote for Trump. They are never going to vote for Trump. They do not want fascism. They don't want the destruction of our democracy. So that's one reason, Jake, that I'm looking very carefully tonight at all these results coming out of Virginia, Rhode Island, New York, Kentucky, Mississippi, to gauge enthusiasm. And if the enthusiasm lags at all, fine, and then we buck it up. But remember something, none of this matters beans until the issue is joined. And the issue is not joined yet. And a lot of the presidents I've described, Obama, Clinton, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, were at this point a year out as well. So what? Thanks a lot for calling. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling, Wisco Paul. What's in your mind today?
Well, quickly, I want to point out that what Trump did was cut taxes and spent, and he spent a lot of money. At least the Democrats' plan, when they spend, they also tax to pay for the spending. And this is where this Johnson comes into play. Man, scares the living hell out of me, because you can't afford to shut the government down at this time. So never forget that. When the Republicans spend, they don't tax, therefore you have deficits. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I'm going to hit it on two things. One is, believe it or not, historically, the Democratic Party has been the tax-cutting party. Do you know what the top tax rate was under Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s? 90%. If you made $1 million, $10 million bucks a year, which back then you wouldn't, but let's say you did, 90% of it over a certain amount was taken by the government. John Kennedy reduced it to 70%. John Kennedy reduced it to 70%. And then it went down from there. Reagan reduced it down, I think it was 39%. And roughly it's at that stage now. So when you say the Democrats tax, the Democrats are the tax cutters when it's possible and prudent, but they also want to enforce tax revenue and get rid of the cheats. And that is why Mike Johnson has added, let's gut the IRS to the Israel aid. $14.8 billion you want for Israel, fine. And we're going to take it out of the IRS enforcement. The reason for it in there is to hire forensic accountants and lawyers who will go after tax cheats. Who are the tax cheats? The tax cheats are Republican donors. They're the Republican constituency. That's why it's in there. So when you talk about tax, we're talking about enforcement of tax laws after we have already cut the taxes. You know, this has really been a great show. It's been a great funny show because the second hour is all calls and the first hour is no calls, which is unusual. That's okay. Sometimes it snows on January and sometimes it doesn't. Okay. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. Really enjoyed this show. Matt Flynn signing off for today.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is Civic Media. This is Civic Media.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.